All right. Well, it's Thanksgiving week. Everybody excited? Yeah, me too. Me too. It's going to be fun. Well, last week we finished up a series, and then this week I decided that we're extending this series, so sorry. You know, we have revival next week, and I didn't want to jump into a Christmas message before Thanksgiving started, so it was a whole thing. So anyway, I wrestled with that this week. But there's one more blessing that I didn't put in my original plans that I thought we really could talk about this in this series. So we're extending it. So if you've not been here, we're in a series called Blessed Beyond Measure that we're going to finish today. It's a Thanksgiving series. We're trying to cultivate more gratitude for the things that we take for granted. While we don't all share the same blessings, right? Some of us are very gifted in certain abilities, while others are gifted in other abilities. We definitely share some blessings in common. And so we started off the series talking about those blessings. The first was the blessing of salvation. Then week two, we talked about the blessing of relationship. Week three, we talked about the blessing of provision. And last week, we talked about the blessing of hope. And so this week, today, we're going to finish the series off by talking about the blessing of peace. And I think that's very fitting for this time of year, especially for Thanksgiving, gratitude, contentment, all those things. So peace and contentment are a big deal. And I think deep down, we're all really just searching for peace, right? We spend lots of time looking for peace and contentment. Maybe it's just at the end of the work week. We've just got to get through the end of this work week and then I'll have some peace. Or maybe it's going to happen when I buy this next gadget. Or maybe once this season of life is done and I'm not so busy, then I'll have peace. And maybe once this debt that I have is paid down. Or if you're a parent, maybe you're just trying to get to where your kids are asleep that night. It's quiet. I'll have a little peace at that point. And I do think there is some peace to all of these things that I've mentioned, but it's the world's version of peace. We're going to talk about this a little later. Have you ever thought, if I could just get that one thing, just buy this one thing, or get that promotion, or get this house that I want, or this car that I've been wanting, then I'll be content. Then I'll be at peace. Have you ever actually gotten the item or the thing? What happened? After about 2 weeks, right? It starts to wear off, and then you're like, okay, now I know. If I can get this thing, then I'll be at peace. Then I'll be content. It's because it's the world's version of peace. It's a narrative that we're sold over and over again, that if we could just make enough money or just have enough stuff or lose enough weight, it would all be okay. We would all be at peace. The world would be well for us. The problem is that we are sold a narrative because that narrative makes money for people. Cars, houses, diet pills, it all sells because we're told it will be the answer. The reality is that stuff isn't the answer to peace. And if you ask a rich or famous person, they will tell you that. I think of the famous Jim Carrey quote you might have heard. He says, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they've ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer." Today, I want to talk to you about a different version of peace, a peace that God has gifted us, a peace that we're blessed with for free, a peace that should be at the top of our gratitude list this Thanksgiving. So we're going to be in the book of John today. We're going to be reading the words of Jesus. These are all Jesus' words to his disciples. This is chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. And as we've done this whole series, we'll kind of break this passage into chunks and we'll talk about it. And in this passage, Jesus lays out what I see as four ways that we receive this peace. So the first one is peace through obedience. Doesn't sound fun, does it? We'll get into it. This is John 14, verses 15 through 24. It says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, and John, make sure we know this, right? Not Judas Iscariot. That guy stinks. He's the worst. The other Judas says, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home in them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Okay, so that was a lot right out of the gate. We're going to talk about it. So Jesus starts off by saying, "If you love me, keep my commands." It's interesting. He doesn't say, "I will love you if you keep my commands," or "keep my commands to earn my love." He simply says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands. You will live as I live, and you'll do what I say is best for you to do." One cool thing here I want us to notice immediately is that Jesus ties obedience to love. Now, what do we normally tie obedience to in this world? Fear, right? We don't want consequences. Obedience. We obey because we don't want to face the consequences. Think about when you're a kid. You do what your parents says, or you're getting a wooden spoon or something else after you, right? It's fear. Think of school. You do what your teacher says because you don't want to go to the principal's office. Think about work. You do what your boss says because you don't want to be fired, right? Or think about laws. You break the law, you might get tossed in jail. You see, we tie obedience to fear in every direction in our culture. And Jesus comes in and says, "No, I'm going to tie this to love." He says, "If you love me, keep my commands, not if you fear me." So Jesus is saying that keeping his commands is a response to our love for him. In this call to obedience, right? So obedience is the response, but this call to obedience, it's got to be for something, right? It's not just saying, "Keep my commands," for no reason. Well, he follows that up with, "I will give you the advocate." So aligning ourselves with Jesus and keeping his commands, it positions us to receive what God is going to give us, which first is the advocate, the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about this in a minute as well, but the Holy Spirit is the source for this peace that we're talking about. Now, he says, "The world cannot see the advocate, but you can." Why? Why would you be able to see it, but the world hasn't? Well, it's because you've aligned yourself with Jesus and you've kept his commands. Now, not out of fear, but out of love. In other words, obedience clears a path for peace. Obedience clears a path for peace. When we align ourselves with Jesus, we experience his peace instead of internal or external conflict. There's a story of a little kid with their dad flying a kite at the beach. And the kid's looking up at the kite and he gets to thinking, "You know what? This string is holding this kite back. Think of how much higher this kite could fly if we just cut the string." So the dad sees an opportunity for teaching, and he hands the kid a pair of scissors. He says, "Cut the string." The kid cut the string, and the kite lifted for a moment, and then the wind changed, and it spiraled, and it crashed straight into the water. You see, the string wasn't restricting the kite. It was allowing the kite to fly. Obedience works in the same way. Jesus' commands don't restrict our peace. They secure our peace. Does that make sense? When we cut out obedience, we lose the string that's holding us steady. We cut out what brings peace. So that's the first one, obedience or peace through obedience. The next section we're going to call peace through the Holy Spirit. Now this is verses 25 and 26. He says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things, and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. So this is where it starts to get really good, because peace isn't just through our obedience, right? We can't work our way to something we don't have power to work our way to. In fact, Jesus knows that we would be in trouble if our peace depended on just our own power. He says, I have told you all this because I'm not leaving you just on my instruction. I'm also leaving you with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be a constant guide and a reminder to all these things that I've taught you. So even beyond Jesus' commands and beyond scripture and church and small groups and praying before meals and whatever other spiritual thing we can do, Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit as to not let us just drift off by ourselves and try really hard to be aligned with him. He actually gives us a divine power to lean on. Now, how does that give us peace? Well, when you have the Holy Spirit, you receive the three C's: comfort, clarity, and companionship. So I know that no matter what my circumstances are to start the day, you ever wake up and just know, whew, today is going to be a rough one, right? Not a whole lot of peace in my future, right? No matter what is going to happen that day, I get to rely on the divine power that Jesus has gifted me. I'll be able to receive comfort because I'm not alone. I have the Holy Spirit indwelling. I'll receive clarity from wisdom and discernment and guidance from the Holy Spirit. And I receive companionship and reassurance from the Holy Spirit being involved in my life and knowing me inside and out. And all of that brings peace. Knowing that I get to face any situation with comfort and clarity and a companion. I'll use another illustration from a child viewpoint. I think there's a reason we're called children of God, and it's because we act like it a lot, right? Have you ever, I'm in the thick of parenting, and there's a lot of times where I say something to my child that I imagine God probably said to me that week, right? Anyway, think of when you were a kid and it's storming outside. Right, the lightning and the thunder are scary and you couldn't sleep. What made you feel better about the situation? Yeah, having a parent near, right? Maybe it was you going and jumping in their bed, or maybe they came to your room, but it was much easier to handle when a parent was with you. Did the thunder and lightning stop because a parent walked in the room? No, of course not. Right? They don't have that kind of power. But the presence of someone you trusted was with you. That's the peace that we receive from the Holy Spirit. Not freedom from the storm, but presence in the storm. All right. So the third thing that Jesus lays out is that we are gifted peace through Jesus. Now this is verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So Jesus has freely gifted us peace, first and foremost, through salvation and through eternal life. But he makes this clarifying statement: I give you peace, but not as the world gives it. This isn't peace from a bunch of money stockpiled somewhere, or peace through our freezers being full of food. Remember, we talked about this earlier, that those things do bring a version of peace. It's a good feeling to not owe someone money. It's a good feeling to know that you have food available for your family. But this isn't what Jesus is talking about. You see, the peace of the world is conditional. If I pay off my debt, if my freezer is full, if my house is big, if I look a certain way, if I have a certain amount of friends, or if I get that promotion, the peace that the world offers is conditional. The peace that Jesus is offering, it doesn't depend on circumstances or status or money or anything. Check out this painting. Looks pretty peaceful, right? It's a painting of the sun setting over the lake. The water's calm, the sky's beautiful, the trees are green. Who wouldn't want to sit there and take in that view, right? That's a peaceful view. But that peace is conditional. What if the sky was overcast? What if the wind was blowing and the water was really choppy and it was super cold out? The trees had no leaves because it was in the middle of winter. That's a much different scene, right? that's not so peaceful. That would be considered more harsh. You know, most people wouldn't want to sit outside in that, right? People that ice fish would, but otherwise, it's not a peaceful scene anymore. Now, look at this painting. Can we see it? All right. It's a bird at peace in its nest. Now, while this waterfall is beautiful, this is a scene I would want to take in, right? To a bird, this would be chaos. Imagine being that little bird and hearing roaring water all day long, probably getting sprayed every time the wind changes direction, not being able to hear any potential predators coming. Yet that bird sits there calm and unafraid. This is what we're gifted with, the peace of Jesus. Peace no matter what chaos surrounds us. No food in the freezer. Maybe you lost your job. Don't look the way you want to. Maybe your car's old and breaking down. I have a companion that is gifted by Jesus. This gives me peace no matter the circumstance. Circumstances are so often out of our control anyway, right? We can't control a whole lot in this world. Circumstances are not in our control, but the peace that Jesus gives allows us to rest in the one who is in control. So, the fourth thing that he lays out, this is 28 through 31, to end the passage. He says this, "You heard me say, I am not going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes to the world so that the world may learn I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me." So, in verse 30, Jesus assures our peace, and he does it by saying the prince of this world is coming. And he's talking about Satan. He's talking about the enemy. But then he says that he has no hold over him. So he's again guaranteeing chaos and turbulence, but at the same time, he's claiming victory. This victory is what allows us to have peace. No matter what the enemy throws at us, Jesus has already won the battle. And when the time is right, he's going to restore all things back to the Father. And that's going to put away the sin and evil that's cursed this world forever. And that is our peace. That's something we can take peace in. February 4th, 2007. Plug your ears, Charlie. Colts are playing the Bears in the Super Bowl. Now, I'm living about 40 minutes outside of Chicago at that time. I was in college. I had talked so much trash to my Bears fan, or my friends who were Bears fans up there. So, like, a ridiculous amount of trash talk. I knew that the Bears had a terrible offense. They were bad, right? The Colts had one of the best offenses we'd ever seen. But the Bears had an incredible defense. They also had a secret weapon. His name was Devin Hester. He had returned 5 kickoff or punt returns for touchdowns that season. Now, I went home. I left school. I could have stayed up there and watched it. I could have, you know, they had the watch party, all that stuff. I went home. I went to Indiana. I was confident that the Colts would win, but just in case they didn't, I was going to take a couple days off school. I was going to save myself the ridicule, you know? It's fun to talk trash. It's not fun to own up to it. So, if you remember the game, you remember that the Colts kicked it to Devin Hester to start the game, and he returned it for a touchdown, right? And at that point, I'm feeling pretty nervous. Pretty nervous. That's, in fact, a horrible way to start the Super Bowl. Terrible way. 10 seconds in, you're down 7 points. Now, luckily for me and my pride, my intuition was right. The Colts ended up taking control of that game and never looked back, right? It didn't feel close after that. They become world champions. I got to go back to school that next day and gloat, take a victory lap. It was the best. It really was. Now, any time that documentary or highlights from that game, or that game is on TV, I'll pop in and I'll watch it for a while, right? Why would I do that? I already know what happened, right? It's because I can watch Devin Hester return that opening kickoff and just smile. They don't know what's about to hit them, right? I don't have to be nervous because they've already won. I know how the story ends. I don't have to worry about it. So I have such a peace and a confidence watching that game now, right? It's really fun. It's fun to do when the Colts lose. You just watch the highlights from the Super Bowl game. You're like, hey, here we go. I know the outcome. Now think about this concept in the scheme of Jesus saving the world. We know how the story ends. He has already won. The battle's done, right? He already has the victory. So if the Colts winning the Super Bowl makes us have this peace, right? If peace comes with the Colts winning the Super Bowl, how much more peace should we feel knowing that Jesus has defeated sin and death? Our peace is so real and so life-changing because it's backed by the victory of Jesus. So you can just watch history unfold in front of your eyes, right? And we are. I mean, we've lived through a lot of stuff that further generations will probably talk, unless it just keeps getting crazier, and who knows, you know? But we've lived through a lot of stuff, and we can just watch history unfold like we're watching a rerun of the Colts winning the Super Bowl. Because you're living in a battle that Jesus already won. So your peace doesn't have to rise and fall when it appears that the battle is going poor or good. Jesus has the victory. He's already won. So this peace that we've been blessed with, it doesn't offer us temporary comfort. What it offers us is a settled heart. And if your heart is settled, then it knows that one, you are loved. It knows that two, you're not alone. Three, it knows that God is in control. And four, it knows that Christ has won the victory. So what's stopping you? What's stopping you from exchanging the world's fragile, conditional, circumstantial peace? Peace that relies on my surroundings being just right. What's stopping you from trading that peace for the peace of Jesus, which is unshakable, unconditional, and it's consistent no matter the circumstance? So this is a free gift that Jesus has blessed us with. And if you haven't given him your heart yet, what are you waiting for? There's peace and contentment waiting for you on the other side. And it comes through Jesus and through his Holy Spirit, through his commands, and through his victory. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your peace. We thank you that you've blessed us beyond measure in all these ways. But God, specifically your peace this morning. How good it is to face life knowing that no matter the circumstance, you've already won. Help us to be a people that align ourselves with you, that respond to our love for you by keeping your commands. Help us to be a people filled with the Holy Spirit and just relying on you, on this divine power you've gifted us for peace. God, help us to be a people that live in and claim your victory over the world. We can't wait for the day that sin and death are defeated and that all things are restored back to you. Until then, God, help us to just live in your peace. We thank you so much. Help us not to forget it this week as we celebrate Thanksgiving, how blessed we really are. Help us to live in your peace and your contentment no matter what is happening around us. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Our worship team is going to sing a song. Our altars here are always open. If you felt God speaking to you this morning and just feel like you need to respond, this is a great place to do it. You can respond to God anywhere, but the altar is a great place. So they're going to sing. We just ask that you would stand, worship, reflect, and use this time to respond to what God's been speaking to you. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, today's a good day.